potentially, I don't know, we'll find out, but potentially we're going to finish up the spiritual disciplines. We've been talking about the spiritual discipline of remembering the first week. And if you remember, we talked about some ways of doing that, putting up a memorial, writing it down, talking about it, getting these things flowing. Last week, we had the spiritual discipline. Everybody remember? Consecrated life. That's right. We talked about having a separated life, a consecrated life, cleaning up our lives, what we needed to do to get ourselves in a place of consecrated to God, that we are stepping away from the world and separating ourselves from what the world has to offer and putting ourselves in a position to be holy unto God or exclusively God's, to be opened up to his purpose, because we know that Joshua said, consecrate yourselves for tomorrow. The Lord will do wonders among you. I got one more for you tonight, spiritual disciplines. This is part number three, talking about a submitted life. Wednesday night, Pastor Jim kind of touched on this subject about being humble. And I encourage you, if you didn't get that message, you need to get online and download that web podcast, you know, or download it on the website and get a hold of that, because it was powerful. He gave five things about being dependent on God and what true humility looks like. I want to launch off of some of those thoughts, and even if you didn't hear that Wednesday night message, you'll be okay tonight, because this message is self-contained as well, but it will encourage you if you get Wednesday night's message. But I want to talk about being submissive, having a submitted life. It's a discipline to be submissive. Nobody likes being submissive. I don't like being submissive, and let's be honest with each other, you don't like being submissive. We all want my way or the highway. We have this Burger King mentality, have it your way. We've been told that if we don't get it in 30 seconds or less, that it's free. We've been told that, you know what, we're an individual. Stand up, you can be whatever you want to be, you can do whatever you want to do. And while there's elements of truth in those statements, the problem is that we take those things, and in our American mindset for 200 years, we've had this mindset that nobody dominates me, nobody tells me what to do, I'm going to make things happen. We've got the American dream, two cars in the garage, a house, 2.3 kids, right, and a dog and a cat. And so with that, we've had this idea that nobody's going to come in and tell me what I'm supposed to do. We've had problems with our parents, we've had problems with our teachers, with our professors, we've had problems with our bosses and our employers, we've had problems with each other. Maybe some of you in this room have had problems because somebody told you, no, you can't sit there, you have to sit somewhere else. Or they said, excuse me, you can't walk in front, you got to go around. We don't like that. Nobody likes that. And I know it's part of it is just sin nature, yes. But part of it, I believe, is how we've been brought up in the American mindset. We're so darn independent. We're so selfish. It's all about me. It's all about my stuff, my pride, my way, my space, the iPhone, the iPod. Everything is centered around self. You know, oftentimes when I talk to people, I sometimes think, you know, God, what is it like on their planet? You know, because it seems like everybody's invited to their world when you're around those people. You know, it reminds me of the little boy whose mom was disciplining him. She sat him in a corner and said, I want you to come over to this chair and I want you to sit down in this chair until I come and talk to you about it. Little boy sat down and had a scowl on his face. He crossed his arms and just stared at his mom. And his mom said, what are you thinking right now? He says, I may be sitting down on the outside, but I'm standing up on the inside. We've got this independent, dominant attitude towards submission, and yet the Bible tells us that we are to be submissive, that we are to be obedient children, that we are to be people who have a heart that's open to the needs of others. You know, the definition of love even that we use at this church is the giving of oneself for the betterment of someone else, personal self-sacrifice. That this is not about me, but rather this is about God. And when we get about God, all of a sudden we start to have a heart that puts our needs second to the needs of others around us. You know, if you want to have a great marriage, start putting your husband or wife in front of your own needs. You want to have great kids, start putting their needs ahead of your needs. You want to be a good employee, you want to get the raises and the bonuses and the promotions, start putting the needs of that company in front of your own needs. Now, I'm not telling you to let people walk on you, by no means. Not telling people to use you, by no means. And yet Jesus said, even if you're walked on and used, that you're blessed for the kingdom's sake. Even when people spitefully use you and speak evil of you, If you have the right heart attitude towards it, you're blessed. And let me tell you, when Jesus says you're blessed, you're blessed. That's not just a statement of a quality of character. That's not just some sort of golden ray. They're blessed. That's how they are. But it doesn't make a difference in their life. No, Jesus is talking about something tangible, something real, something that impacts and makes a change in your life. Tonight we're going to talk about the discipline of a submitted life. We're going to talk about three areas that I see in the Word of God that I think that will help us. Now, there's more areas, and you can look them up on your own time, but these are three major areas that I believe are going to help each and every one of us in this place tonight, because I know even I've got some areas that I need to work on, this area of submission. You guys ready? Yeah. All right, two of you. That's good. Number one is submit first to God. Submit first to God. In all of your submitting, in any arena that you're submitting, whether it be at work, at home, at school, whether you're here or there, it doesn't matter. Your first submission is submitting to God. Plain and simple. If somebody's asking you to submit to sin, you don't do it. Why? Because you're not submitted to sin, you're submitted to God. You left the realm of sin, and now you're in the kingdom of God. And so when you are going about your daily life, you know, I love what the apostles said in the book of Acts. I was reading about them and how they kept going before the Sanhedrin. Now, these are the religious rulers of the day. These guys were second to the government authority that was over them of Rome. And in that area, Rome had set up their people, but their people actually allowed the governing of the people through what was called the Sanhedrin. Okay, and that was their religious governing authority at the time. And every time the religious governing authority brought in the apostles and they said, listen, we don't want you teaching and preaching about this Jesus. We don't want you to mention his name anymore. The disciples said, let me ask you a question. Should we listen to you or should we listen to God? You decide. Now remember, these are the religious leaders and they know the right answer. And so they beat them and let them go. And when they walked out, they didn't say, oh man, we're going to have to go somewhere else and preach and teach about Jesus. No, they went straight back to the temple courts, walked right back out and started preaching and teaching about Jesus once again. Why? Because they were submitted to God first and to man second. They weren't disrespecting the rulers. They were not rebellious against the authority, but rather they were submitted to God and they knew what God had called them to do and they were not going to compromise in that area. James chapter 4 verse 7 is a great verse. If you want to turn there with me, the book of James, it's right after Hebrews. If you hit the maps, turn around and go back. James chapter 4. James chapter 4 verse 7, if you don't have your Bible, that's okay, I'll put it up on the overhead for you. It says this, it says, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Simple little verse. Therefore, submit to God. First and foremost, period. Notice this little period. That's a sentence. Therefore, submit to God. This is what we are to do as Christians. A lot of times we have problems, we have trials, devils coming against us. And we start huffing and puffing, we start crying, we start wailing, bawling and squalling. God, what's wrong? What's going on? And yet, if we took inventory of our lives and we said, have I submitted to God in these areas of my life that I'm struggling? Have I submitted to God in my finances? Finances are all dried up, but am I tithing? Am I being a good steward of what God gave me with the 90% that I have left over after a tithe? What am I doing? Am I spending frivolously? Am I eating out every meal at expensive restaurants? What am I doing? Am I submitted to God in that area? Maybe we're having trouble with purity. Well, are you submitted to God? Are you watching things that you shouldn't watch that maybe you're kind of on the gray area, you know, that fine line? Not fully consecrated. You haven't got rid of the junk yet. You're still watching everything and wondering why you're into pornography. Just a thought. Maybe you need to check out how submitted you are in those areas to God. Now, after you've submitted to God, look at the next sentence. Then resist the devil and he will flee from you. But if you're out of sync with God and you try and resist the devil, he's going to knock you out. He's going to knock you down. You're going to be lying on your back with the air pushed out of your lungs wondering, how did I get in this position? And yet if you go back and you check out your heart, the Bible tells us continuously, check yourself out. Make sure that you're okay with God. Make sure that your heart is right. Make sure that you're doing things with God. Make sure you've got an open heart to God, a tender heart to God, an obedient, submissive heart to God. Why? Because then when you come up against the devil and you've got a submitted heart to God, Then you resist the devil and he will flee from you. Why? Because you say, listen, devil, I'm submitted to God and you must go in Jesus' name. Devil's gone. But if the devil comes attacking you and you're not willing to give up certain things and you're wondering, why are these images keep coming in my head? Why does this stuff keep coming after me? Well, who's putting them in there? Is it really the devil? Or is the devil just bringing back what you put in? Hello. It's getting super quiet in here, so I'll move on to the next one. Submit first to God. Second is submit to God's spiritual order. Here's what I mean by that. There's two areas we're going to talk about. First is family relationships. God's spiritual order. Talking about two areas. Number one is family relationships. Talking about husbands and wives and children. I'm not going to say too much about this because Pastor Jim and Deborah are teaching on the weekends about spiritual authority in the house. Talking about the man and the wife. This is what I am going to say. If the woman is trying to be the man in the relationship, there's going to be some frustration there because that's not God's proper order. If the man isn't stepping up and being the leader of the house, there's going to be something going on wrong because that's not God's proper order. So if you're having trouble in your marriage, or maybe if you're starting a relationship, you're dating, or you're wondering about that, I encourage you to get a hold of the messages from last weekend, this weekend, all the way up through February 14th, and find out what God's proper spiritual order is in the house, okay? That's all I'm going to say about that, family relationships. Submit to God's spiritual order in your family relationships. Men, be men. Women, be women. God's anointed you to be that, and you need to be that, okay? Second thing is church order. Church order, okay? This is talking about submitting to God's spiritual order. Church order, pastors and leadership. Listen, Jesus being the head of the church. Jesus is the firstborn, and Jesus is the head of the church. The Bible says that God has put all things under Jesus' feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. What does that mean? That means that Jesus is the head over the church, and now Jesus has given gifts to the church that we know them as the fivefold ministry gifts, pastors, evangelists, teachers, right? On and on. Also, Jesus has given spiritual gifts, gifts of administrations, gifts of prophecies, different giftings in the church. All of these gifts Jesus has set in order in the church, and when we submit to that church order, now we come in line, and there's good things that happen when that takes place. Let me give you an example. If we are the body of Christ, then that's likened to our natural body. Now, the heart has a job. What is that? To pump blood, right? So that's all the heart does, is it sits there. Now, what if the heart saw the lungs and said, you know what, that's really cool what the lungs do. I wish that I could breathe the air. And all of a sudden, the heart popped out of the chest and started breathing air in. What would happen? A couple of you guys know what would happen, okay? I don't know if they told you about the heart in health class, but if the heart tries to breathe air in, you're going to die, okay? I'll just lay that out for you guys, okay? If the heart popped out of the chest and started breathing air, you'd be dead, okay? Plain and simple. In the body of Christ, if we recognize and realize our spot, this is my place, this is what God has gifted me to do, this is where I'm at, and then we start to work in that arena and do what God has called us to do, now all of a sudden the body functions properly. And Jesus, when he moves on the earth, we are his hands and his feet, we are his body, and we get the job done that Jesus wants. It's a good thing. It's a healthy thing. It is the will of God. That's why I'm set up in this church as a pastor. Listen, I am not an evangelist. I'm not traveling. I'm not going around holding crusades. I don't have a healing ministry, any of that kind of stuff. I can pray for the healing, but my job is to watch out for your soul. I'm watching out after you guys, making sure you guys are doing good, making sure you guys are okay. That's why a lot of our messages center around what's going on in your life. A lot of things that I preach and teach on comes out of conversations that I have with people. Why? Because if that person's dealing with it, I know that person's dealing with it. I know that person's dealing with it. I know everybody can benefit from it. So as a pastor, I know my spot. And you guys, if you can submit to the church order, you know, Joey Valkersell, who does a phenomenal job of leading praise and worship, he is the one that we have set up as a leader over our band. Now, when everybody comes under that leadership and submits to that, we have an experience like we had tonight where we can lift our hands and we can worship the Lord and we can, you know, I was over here fighting back tears Because the presence of God and the anointing of God. Why does that happen? Because they all submit to that leadership. Okay? Now, what would happen if they decided, you know what, we really don't like the song set that he picked. We're going to go ahead and play these other songs, but he's up here trying to sing, you know, my God, you are, and they're like on some other song. We'd all leave this place and wonder, you know, what happened to them. So when you submit to the church order, the pastors and leadership, good things happen. You're there in James, turn back to the book of Hebrews chapter 13. A couple pages over Hebrews chapter 13. Let me show this in the Bible. That way you know I'm not just trying to get you to listen to me. This is what God would have us to do. Hebrews chapter 13, we're going to take a look at verse number 17. Hebrews 13 verse 17 says this. It says, obey those who rule over you and be submissive. For they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. Now I want you to notice something. He ended his statements about obedience and submission, which nobody likes, nobody wants, and yet he says, if you grieve the people that are leaders over you by not being submissive and obedient, that's unprofitable for them. Come on, is anybody in here tonight? Is that unprofitable for the leader? No. Who's it unprofitable for? You. That means if you come against me in leadership, come against Joey in leadership, come against one of my ushers in leadership, the people that I have placed in authority in this place, you start coming against them and you start grieving them, that doesn't mean anything to them. It means something to you. It's unprofitable for you. But that means on the flip side of that, if we're able to do our job with joy, it is what? Profitable for you. You guys getting this tonight? That means that when you come in harmony and unity, and an usher comes and tells you in a manner that you don't like, that you think is rude, that you think is inappropriate, I thought I came to church tonight, and here's this usher telling me to sit somewhere else. And yet, if you say, oh, you know what, I'm sorry, I didn't know this seat was safe. Let me go, where's a good seat? Oh, right here? Thank you. We do our job with joy, that's profitable for you. Why? Because there's unity, and where there's unity, the Bible promises a blessing. Plain and simple. How good and pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity, for there the Lord commands a blessing. Okay? So first thing is submit first to God. Second thing is submit to God's spiritual order. Third thing is submit to social order. Talking about laws, employers, etc. Okay? Submitting to social order. Number three, laws, employers, etc. Now, again, I want to remind you, I'm not talking about submitting to sin. I am not talking about submitting to culture. You guys get what I'm saying? This is not about, oh, well, everybody's wearing these dresses now that you know what, they do show a lot of the rump roast. And you know what, we got to submit to social order. Listen, cover that thing up. Nobody wants to see it. Okay? I especially don't want to see it. And so this is not about submitting to sin, and this is not about submitting to the culture. It's, oh, everybody's listening to this music. Yeah, but they're cussing up a storm. All they talk about is sex and violence. And yet we want to listen to that? No, don't submit to that. But what we're talking about is laws, employers, and other things that we'll talk about here in a second. But let me show this to you there in Hebrews. Turn to 1 Peter, okay? Pass the book of James there from Hebrews. And turn over to 1 Peter chapter 3. I'm sorry, chapter 2. I want to show this to you in your Bible, and then we'll talk about it. 1 Peter chapter 2. We're going to start in verse number 13 and read all the way through verse number 18. Okay? We'll get a clearer picture about what we're talking about. 1 Peter chapter 2, 13 says, therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to governors, as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. Stop right there. This is a commandment from the Word of God that we are to submit ourselves to every ordinance of man. Again, not talking about culture, not talking about all that stuff, talking about the laws of the land. That means that the speed limit being set up as a law is something that we submit ourselves to. It's not always easy. We don't always feel like it's right. We feel like we're in a rush. We got to get there. And yet, God says, I want you to submit. Otherwise, the governors that the king and supreme has appointed over that are going to come, and you're going to notice that they're behind you waving blue and red lights in your rearview mirror. So submit yourself to the law of the land. That's why you don't smoke marijuana in this place. Are you hearing me? Number one, you shouldn't be doing that anyways because God doesn't want you to be out of your right mind. But number two, because the law of the land is you don't do it. If you're under 21 in this place, you're not drinking. Again, you shouldn't be doing that anyways because God doesn't want you out of your right mind. And you say, oh, but Jesus drank this and that. Don't give me that stuff. The Bible says don't look at wine when it's sparkling in the glass because you're going to wake up the next day and wonder who punched you out. That, listen, if you read the Bible, come on. I'm not just making this stuff up. That's what the Bible says. Look it up in the book of Proverbs. Wine is not for kings. That's what the Bible says. You're called kings and priests in the kingdom of God. Wine is not for kings. Okay? I know I'm making a bold statement here, but listen. Let's get back on point. You submit to the laws of the land. You say, but God made marijuana. I can smoke what God's creation is. Well, listen, are you going to go smoke some poison ivy? Your lips are going to blow up like the baboon's behind. But the law of the land is that you don't do that. And that's why we submit to the authority. Okay, let's read on. Verse number 15. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bondservants of God. Listen, if you've linked yourself up with God, you are a bondservant of God. What does that mean? That's the lowest level slave that there is. And as a slave to God, the will of God is that you would submit yourself to the laws of the land and live a peaceable life as a citizen here in this United States, in California, San Bernardino, maybe Riverside County. God is asking us to submit ourselves. Why? So that when somebody comes and says Christians are hypocrites, they're liars, and I don't want to have any part of them, then when they see us doing good, and when they see us submitting, they'll have nothing to say. It says that it will silence their foolish talk. Amen. There's a lot of fools out there that say a lot of smack. They're trash talking, saying anything they can about Christians. They are looking for a way to put you down. And if they see you flying by them on the freeway at 110 miles an hour with a Christian fish on the back of your car, hello? There's something wrong with that picture. That's why I hate the bumper stickers. Christians aren't perfect, just forgiven. I tell you what, they're going to have to forgive me. You cut someone off and then all of a sudden they see I go to the rock and they're cursing us. And yet, if we obey the laws, we'll silence their mouths. Let's read on. Verse number 17. Honor all people. Love the brotherhood. We got no problem with loving the brotherhood. I'll love the Christians that love me. But honor all people? Fear God, honor the king. Listen, that's what one of the things that I love about The Rock and that I'm loving about Shift is that there are so many cultures represented. We honor all people at this church. Sometimes we get accused, oh, you're just a bunch of white people and this and that, and all you do is play white people music. Well, listen, it's very hard to do certain styles of music. But we definitely honor all people. If you listen to the music that we play before and after, we're trying to spin some reggae, some funk, some gospel, some alternative, some hardcore. We're trying, okay? Why is that? Because we honor all people. There's not any race in God's eyes, just the human race. And this is about all of us brothers and sisters in the Lord loving one another. We don't have a problem with that. But when it comes to honoring people, sometimes we have a hard time. Especially when somebody comes in from outside and they look a little different than we think that they should look. They dress a little different than us. They seem a little weird, you know, because I wouldn't wear my hat like that. And what's up with the pants, man? Just saw a guy the other day with his jacket on backwards. Actually, it was Lucas. I'm just playing. But you know what? This is not about those sorts of things. We honor all people. We fear God. And look at what he says. Honor the king. Now, I know that the United States doesn't have a king, but we have a government. We have a government that has a president. And while our president may be our president and we honor him, God is the one that we fear, and God is the one that we honor. Jesus is our King. But that does not mean that I talk bad about our president. That does not mean I talk bad about any of our senators, any of our House of Representatives, any of the people sitting on the seat of the Supreme Court or any of the local courts. I'm not talking bad about our mayor. I'm not talking anything about anyone. I honor our government officials. Why? Because they are watching out and trying to give us a good life, trying to do what they know to do, the best that they know to do, and they don't have God. And so yet I honor them. I'm not doing what they do. I'm not making sure that the roads don't have potholes. I'm not making sure that people are comfortable in their homes and that they have electricity and that sort of a thing. I'm not looking out for building codes and making sure some guy doesn't blow up the place. They are. And so we honor them and we don't talk bad about them. Okay? Submit to social order. Verse number 18, servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh. How many of you guys are working? Come on, by a show of hands. You guys work somewhere. You are employed. Okay? When you see servants in here and masters, in our present day thinking, you can put these words in there. Employees and employers. Let's read it with that understanding. Employees, be submissive to your employers with all fear. Not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh. How many of you had good and gentle bosses? You love your boss. How many of you have harsh bosses? You no likey. Okay, that's okay. But the Bible says it doesn't matter what your boss is like. You be submissive with all fear. Be submissive with all fear. It's a hard thing for us to think about because we get told to do something, we don't like the way we were told, and all of a sudden we got a problem. Well, they told me to do it, but you know, they didn't respect me. They didn't respect me enough to say it nice. Well, listen, they're your boss. You shouldn't be respected in their eyes. You should be doing what they say, and then when you do what they say, they'll respect you. See, there's something that's got to happen. You show respect to them by doing what they say, they'll start showing you some respect. Their perception of you will change. There may be some prejudice in their eyes. There may be something, you know, this is a young punk kid coming in trying to take my job, and I'm going to be harsh with them and show them the ropes and make sure that they're tough so that when they get in this position, they'll know what to do. They come to you and they say, I need this by tomorrow. I need this. I need 10 copies. Come on, I need some coffee. I need you to get on this now. We didn't like the way they said it, so we come in with attitude. We come in past the deadline. We come in with all of our own things, and yet the Bible says to submit to that social order. Also, this could also apply when you talk about if you're in college or something like that. You know, I know that the colleges are teaching every sort of whack doctrine, whack theology. They got all sorts of stuff that they're talking. They're talking smack about Christians. You can't even do your papers and your reports on Christianity, but everybody else can do all their mess. And even though it's like that, if you honor those people and you're obedient and submissive in those arenas, you watch the gospel be preached in that class. I'm just saying. You watch God open up a door of opportunity for you to be able to speak. I've seen it in my own personal life, and I've seen it with other people, that when they got into a class, even though they had harsh instructors, harsh professors, harsh people on the college campus coming against them, that when the time came, the Lord opened up a door of opportunity for them to preach the gospel. Now, we got some time, okay? A couple of minutes here, about 10 minutes. And what we'll do is we'll take about 10 minutes, and I'm going to put some discussion questions up on the overheads for you guys. And so at your tables, I want you to discuss these two things. Number one is, why do you think we have such a hard time submitting? Okay, maybe you can talk about from your personal experience. Maybe you can talk about why you personally have a hard time submitting. Maybe you can talk about why maybe you think socially we have a hard time submitting in our culture, in our society, or with young people in general, okay? And the second thing is, we're going to break it down to personal, because if you didn't get personal on the first one, you're definitely going to get personal on the second one. Are there areas in your life that need to be more submitted, and how will you accomplish that? So just remember those three areas that we talked about, submitting to God first, submitting to God's spiritual order, and submitting to social order, talking about the laws of the land and the people that we are employed by, and also the people that are instructors in classes, coaches, all that kind of stuff, the people that we are supposed to be submitted to. How will you accomplish being more submitted in those areas of your life? Go ahead, talk about it at your tables. About 10 minutes, we'll come back.